that time again. It's Comic Book Storylines. Welcome back. I'm Brian Sorensen. You can also call me Bri the Comic Book Guy. If you have any questions about anything in this episode, feel free to reach out to me at Bri the Comic Book Guy on Instagram, or you can email me, BriTheComicBookGuy@gmail.com. So if you have listened last week, we started on Dark Crisis. It was a DC crossover from a couple of years ago, fairly recent as far as the storylines go. And there's a little bit different aspects of this storyline, because we left off with the Justice League is dead, or are they? And there's going to be a few issues, actually five or six, throughout the crossover that show the supposed dead heroes, but we eventually find out what they are and what they mean. And I'll get to them, because we have two this week that we're going to deal with, as well as some of the other issues in the series. We're going to talk with the Dark Crisis issues 2 and 3 of the main storyline. We're going to get into issue 2 of Dark Crisis Young Justice, issue of The Flash, Flash 784, and a couple of the one-shots. Heroes, we're going to see what's going on in this book with Superman and Aquaman. There's a little story at the end about Aquaman. And then a Green Lantern and Hawk Girl issue. Now, they did several issues called Worlds Without Justice League, and then featuring the heroes that were supposedly dead. So we'll get to see at least four of the characters that are supposedly dead, and it's actually explained in the Green Lantern one in the beginning. So we'll get to that eventually. So right now we're going to start off with Dark Crisis Issue 2. Slade Wilson, Deathstroke the Terminator, had pretty much amassed every bad guy to attack Titan's Tower. And Nightwing, Dick Grayson, they've always had a beef with each other. These guys have always, always had a beef with each other. So we're going to see what happens at the aftermath of that. But we start out with Pariah. It's kind of like a lead-in to what his whole demeanor is and what is going on in his head right now. He kind of has a flashback to his world before it was destroyed. And then there's a flashback of the first issue of Crisis, where he's witnessing the end of that planet. And he starts talking about how he has a second chance to restore not only the life he lost, but the infinite Earths. To bring it all back, Earth Zero must die. Now, Earth Zero is the main continuity DC world at the time. And he says, the Justice League sacrifice only delayed the inevitable. A new crisis is coming. Then the gift the monitor gave me will teleport us to Earth Zero, which means he has some of the technology left over from the original monitor. So we go back to Titan's Tower. Some of the bad guys have knocked out Nightwing, and some of the Teen Titan classmates, as you will, are dragging Nightwing. They were kind of rescued him. He wakes up. He's still in a little bit of in shock and kind of groggy. A bunch of the bad guys chase him down. He tells the kids to run and hide. And Nightwing starts taking him out one by one, even though he's battered. And it kind of shows how badass Dick Grayson is. Even though he's been beat up, he was just unconscious, he still manages to knock out a few guys. But then he's getting led into a room where Slade Wilson has pretty much captured most of the Titans, holding them all for hostage and everything. And he's like, okay, I want to show you something first, how broken I've made your team. And he shows Dick Grayson how he shot Beast Boy in the face. He goes, a bullet right to the face. He'll live, but he's going to have quite the scar, because we weren't sure if he was a shapeshifter, if he was human, had human organs or not. But I tested my theory. So Nightwing immediately starts after him, but one of the bad guys knocks him down. He goes, you really wanted to kill us all? You would have done it by now. And he goes, you have something to prove, you're playing a game. He goes, you're right. I have a point to prove. I could kill every single one of you and no one would care. But you are the prodigal son, the chosen one. They'd care. For old time's sake, we're going to switch things up and everyone is going to watch me versus you. So some of the bad guys are like, wait, this wasn't the plan. This is what you said. He goes, no, never mind. We're doing this. So the next few pages is pretty much them beating the crap out of each other. And Dick Grayson actually does manage to strike down Slade. And the bad guys are like, hey, you do that again and we're going to kill all the guys. And he's like, no, Nightwing won the first round. Let's go on to round two. He goes, "Fine." And he drops his weapons. He goes, "Just kill me and get it over with." And as he puts his arms up and Slade shoots him, John Kent, Superboy, comes in and he blocks the bullet and he goes, "You missed." And then Nightwing goes, "You've got your dad's timing." And he goes, "Oh, this is what I get for stopping by to say hi." And then he's like, "Okay, this looks like a job for Superman." So John Kent starts wailing through the bad guys, but there's a few panels that show somebody coming in with a cape, flying in, and he goes, Slade Wilson goes, "You think I wasn't ready for the Super Son to show up?" Boom, crashes down. Cyborg Superman comes in. Now, this is a bad guy. If you remember way back in the Death of Superman, when the reign of Superman happened, there was four guys that came around that were all claiming that they were Superman. Superman had destroyed the Cyborg, but he's come back in numerous incarnations. So he just calls himself Cyborg Superman now, that Hank Henshaw dude. So he crashes through and he starts fighting Superboy out while Nightwing is saying, "Hey, what is this really about? What are you doing?" And we see this darkness in the back of his mind, and it's Pariah in the darkness going, "Do not kill the superheroes. I need them. Remember your mission. Sow chaos, create a crisis, bring my dark army to you." And Slade's trying to ignore him. He's like, "No, shut up." And all the bad guys are like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Hey, I proved a point here. Open a portal. Let's go." So he just randomly opens a portal and all the bad guys leave. And while that's going on, Cyborg Superman and John Kent, they're fighting it out. And he crashes through a bit of Titan's Tower. And Cyborg comes in, smashes Henshaw's face. So they're picking up the pieces of what's going on here. They're trying to get everybody to infirmaries and everything. And Black Adam comes in and he goes, "You are not ready to lead the Justice League, son of Kal-El. But I was wrong about you, Nightwing. Deathstroke may have led this attack, but the blame for this tragedy falls on your feet." And he's like, "Where were you, Black Adam?" He goes, "Deathstroke's forces laid siege to my home as well. These attacks were worldwide. I have no choice to agree with you. It is my burden to lead this team." So Black Adam is kind of having this power struggle. He's like, "All you kids, you guys can't do this on your own. I need to be the one that does this. I need to be the one that takes care of this." So while that's going on, we see in space, there's a space station, and it looks like Kyle Rayner, one of the former Green Lanterns, is escaping from prison. He's trying to find a ship to get out, and Hal Jordan comes to the rescue, and he's got another Green Lantern partner, and they fly out, and he goes, "Okay, I was looking for you. The bad news, the Justice League are dead. We need some help." So he's like, "How did that happen?" And he pretty much tells them Pariah created this dark army composed of the greatest enemies of the Justice League. Black Adam was the only survivor, and he claims the Justice League are dead. Wally West and the rest of the Speedsters are looking for Barry Allen, which we're going to get to eventually as well. We're going to see what happens with that. And Kyle Rayner's like, "If this army took down the Justice League, there's going to be needing to be more than a few of us." And he goes, "Oh, I know. That's why I brought backup." And you turn around and you see this huge collection of the Green Lantern Corps. And Hal has Kyle Rayner's ring, like, "Hey, how about you join the party?" So it's going to be game on with the Green Lanterns. So next, and this is in read order, it's Worlds Without a Justice League Superman, also featuring Aquaman. So we get to see two perspectives here. Now, it's kind of confusing when you're reading this the first time through because you're like, what's really going on here? But I'm going to give you a little spoiler. It's pretty much Superman is in his own world. And this is what it says in the beginning of the book. Needing to draw power for fuel, to fuel his deadly machines, Pariah has imprisoned each of the essences of the Justice League members in custom-made worlds. Using an ever-growing dark abilities, each world has been created from the innermost hopes of the Justice League. What the Pariah intends to do with these worlds is a mystery. So pretty much what he's doing, now that we know that the Justice League isn't officially dead, he's using their essences to create these worlds to power his machines. So these books are going to be from like the minds of the Justice League. They're kind of like what they were looking for, what they were wanting to do. So this Superman book, I'll kind of give a little bit of rundown because it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the main story. It's just what Superman's world is. He's married to Lois Lane. He has his son Jonathan, and Jonathan is a young boy, And it's kind of like what Superman always wanted. He wanted to be able to fight alongside his son to make the world a better place. And it goes through several years of he and his son from when his son was younger. But the weird thing is, his son is wearing a Robin outfit, but with a Superman logo, you know where the R is? So it's kind of like, what? This is like some kind of mind trip. And basically, the whole issue is Superman trying to show his son how to be a Kryptonian, how to be a superhero, up until the time he's 18 years old and he flies away on his own, and he's just proud of his son and what he's going to be able to become. And then the Aquaman story is Aquaman is getting ready. Like, he wakes up, and Mira is there, his wife. And he's talking about how, like, there's this wedding that they're going to, but he's in the middle of a fight with Black Manta, and they ended up going to this wedding. And we see that this wedding is being tampered with by some Atlantean terrorists. Aquawoman is there, and it's this huge wedding. Like, all the Atlanteans are there, and Aquaman pretty much saves the day by finding out who the Atlantean guys are, and it's like a happy day for everybody in Atlantis. And Aquaman wakes up and he goes, "Wait a minute, I don't, what happened here?" And he looks up and he's like, "You think you've beaten me? I've been dead before and I've come back. Soon we'll all see if you can say the same." So it kind of looks like Aquaman is one of the first ones to realize what's going on, even though he's in his own little world. Now, the next one is going to be Dark Crisis Young Justice, issue number 2. So the members of Young Justice, Impulse, Robin, and Connor Kent, they seem to be lost in their own little world, but it doesn't seem like it's the one that the Justice League essences are. It seems like they're in some kind of crazy, like, past loop of their events. Like, they remember who they are, they know who they are, they know what was going on, but they seem to be reliving things from their past. But things aren't quite the way they are, and Wonder Girl Cassie is back on the regular reality, and she's also trying to find them. But here's the other thing. There's a Cassie in their universe as well, who they think is her at first, but it seems to be blending in with their memories of when they initially started. So they're reliving events when they went to the Justice League Watchtower, when they were still sidekicks back in the day. The Superman and Batmans and everything is. They're all talking to him when they were up at the Watchtower, and they all remember these events. And they know things are weird because of things that some of the heroes are saying. And they finally sit down and they're like, "Okay, the real Batman would never say this. Barry would not have talked. Barry would not have been like that. Wally would not have talked about him like that." So they're like, "Okay, something is definitely wrong." And then Connor's like, "Do we really have to go back?" And Robin's like, "Yeah, we have to. We need to figure out where we are and how to get back." So Cassie, Wonder Girl, has enlisted the aid of Red Tornado. She's like, "Okay, the guys are gone. So we need to figure out where the guys are." So you go back to them in the other dimension, and they're riding along in a vehicle, and all of a sudden the vehicle starts wiggling. And you see a face in the, it's a reflection almost in the shiny part of the vehicle, and they don't see it. But something happens and it crashes that vehicle, and they crash land, they're in the desert, and all of a sudden they get attacked by zombies. Now I'm telling you that like I said, these issues are a bit of a trip, and they're being attacked by zombies, so they run to this cave. They run into a cave, and they got some bad guys in there. You've got Captain Boomerang, Lex Luthor, and Deathstroke the Terminator. And they're like, "Oh crap, what is this?" Now you know for a fact that those guys are not really there because they're part of the real universe, so you know they're part of the illusion as well. We move on to Flash 784. Now, as you've heard in the previous episode, all the speedsters broke up into teams. There's three possible versions of Barry Allen. Only one of them's the right one, and they have to be the one that's in tune with, like, their essences, their vibrations in the Speed Force and everything. So three teams were sent, and in the last issue of Flash, they all found that version of Barry Allen, whether it was the real one or not. But we kind of got the suspicion that the third one was, because one of them had a beard driving a vehicle in the middle of a desert. which that's where we start off with one of the speedster teams. They know right away it's definitely not him, because they help him save the day, and he has absolutely no idea who they are. So they're like, okay, this is the wrong Earth, this is the wrong Barry, so we've got to head back. And then we go to Barry's niece and nephew go into this kind of Gotham City looking Earth area, and somebody jumps down on him, and he calls himself Night Flash. So you know that is not his Flash, the real Flash. So we're pretty sure it's where Kid Flash and Wally West are. And they watch Barry defeat Captain Cold and some of the other bad guys. So Barry's running through the city as he's normally does, and he runs into Wally. But from his perspective, it's not Wally, it's Reverse Flash. So he immediately attacks him. He's like, Barry, wait, it's me, Wally. And he kind of vibrates through the Speed Force to say, hey, it's me. So it kind of goes back and forth from him looking like it's Reverse Flash and it's Wally. So he thinks he's being screwed with. So he wails on him. He goes, okay, I'm not letting you torture me ever again, Reverse Flash, because he thinks it's a Reverse Flash. So I'm never going to let you hurt my family. So it looks like he's going to full on just tear him apart. So we see Kid Flash. He's kind of being sucked into this new world, and he's kind of having some visions of his own. And he ends up finding his family, and he feels like he's home because it's his family once again. And that's kind of how the issue ends, where Kid Flash is kind of sucked into the reality, and he feels like he wants to stay there. So as I've said, these are some mind trips here. So we get to Dark Crisis number 3 of the main continuity. Now, a lot of the heroes that are left, they're pretty broken up. Titan's Tower is a wreck. The world knows that the Justice League is dead. People are holding up signs and vigils. The Justice League is dead. No one's going to save us. The heroes that are left are kind of battered and broken. I don't know what to do. Some of the heroes have decided to hang it up because they're like, hey, you know what? We are not going to be attacked the way that the Titans were. We're not the Justice League. But at the same time, Dick Grayson and the younger heroes that are left, and they still want to keep a team going because they kind of feel, and I can kind of see where this would come from, where they feel like they have to. They're the younger generation of the heroes, where they have to pick up where the older ones left off. Dead or not, the Justice League isn't around, so they need something to fill the void of heroes because the world still needs people protecting it. So we leave off. The Titans are picking up where they left off. Beast Boy is in the hospital. Nightwing hasn't left his side. The main Titan team members are kind of sitting out in the waiting room, and that's when they start talking about Young Justice. They have admitted that the Young Justice guys are gone, and how Cassie and Red Tornado are looking to find them. And it kind of shows at the bottom, as seen in the pages of Dark Crisis Young Justice. And then they're like, okay, how many heroes have disappeared going along? And they know that those guys are missing. So we see Black Adam is training the team of Justice Leaguers. He's talking about all these different places. And on the bottom of the page, it shows where the bad guys are attacking all over the world. Metropolis, Hall of Justice, Deathstroke's army is in Moscow, Black Adam's home, all these different places. And he managed to capture one of the bad guys, Count Vertigo. And he's kind of holding him hostage in front of the team, going, you need to learn how to get something out of somebody. We need to do what must be done. And the heroes are like, hey, you need to stop this. You're not going to kill this guy. He's gonna give us what we need to know. The Justice League are dead. You didn't see what I saw. He needs to tell us what's going on, or else. So he's getting ready to crush this guy's skull, but one of the Amazons manages to pull him away, and he goes, "You guys are just a waste of my time." So he kind of takes off, and the Justice Leaguers are like, "Okay, we need to kind of do our own things now." So everybody kind of leaves except for John Kent and one of the Amazons, Wonder Woman, and Robin is still there, Damian Wayne. And Damian's like, hey, you know, Black Adam might be right. There is no Justice League. This darkness that's coming, we're not going to be ready for it. And John Kent's like, hey, how can you be so? And Damian's like, realistic. We are not the Justice League. And he goes, the Justice League gives hope. And then Damian's like, maybe that's why they died. And John is kind of just sitting there all distraught. Wonder Girl is there, Damian Wayne's there. And then the voice comes from above. Sorry to interrupt, but if there's no Justice League, and here comes the cavalry. It's the Justice Society, like the old Justice Society. They got Blue Beetle, Dr. Fate, and the rest of the heroes that are from the old school Justice Society. And he goes, Golden Age Green Lantern goes, "We'd love to help if you young people don't mind some old timers lending a hand." We're like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty cool. You got Justice Society, that's gonna help. And we see Deathstroke. He's in his base, and there's this dark force talking to him. "Deathstroke, you have a mission. You must create a crisis." And he's screaming, "Get out of my head." And the doors open, and some of his henchmen go, "Hey, look who we saw sneaking into this place. Oh, somebody's trying to kill me." And it's the bad girl, Ravager, his daughter. And he's like, "I'm sorry to disappoint you." And she goes, "You've always been broken. This is a new low for you." And he goes, "Everything we've seen, superheroes, supervillains, it's all a mistake." And she's like, "What's going on with you?" And he's got this weird look about him, and he looks all bloody and dark and everything. And he goes, "You need to be my legacy." And she goes, "What's wrong with you?" And he goes, "I have become part of something bigger. The darkness speaks to me." And he tries to reach for her, but she kicks him away. The bad guys run in. He's like, "Hey, what's going on here?" And he goes, "Perfect timing." And that's when the darkness, there's this dark thing that spews from Slade. It's kind of like this liquidy darkness form, and it goes into everybody that's in the room. And they're like, "No, please, no," and everything goes dark. Then we cut to, yeah, that's ominous, isn't it? They kind of leave us hanging there for a few minutes, don't they? So we get to where the Green Lanterns are. They're all in this one group. There's this one sector where it said Black Adam said there was this energy beacon with Pariah's Dark Army. The Guardians have always suspected something like this was going to happen. It's a restored Black Lantern that proves it. So the Black Lantern is part of this dark energy. So Kyle Rayner decides that he's going to touch this thing, but Hal stops him. He goes, "No, I'm going to take care of this." He goes, "The core is going to be the first line of defense that saves the multiverse." So Hal Jordan touches this Black Lantern and kind of gets sucked into it with all the rest of the Green Lanterns. And this darkness goes, "I had hoped it would be you. The fearless, like me, the great Hal Jordan would understand." It's Pariah standing next to his machine with the Justice Leaguers. Now, here's where you get to see the first look of these orbs or the worlds that the Justice League's essences are in. Because Kyle Rayner goes, "Where are the Justice League?" He goes, "Gone. The heroes from Earth Zero are special. Each of you is a world unto itself. I can use it to rebuild the multiverse." And he sees these giant spears behind him. One of them has Wonder Woman's logo, one of them has Superman's, one of them has Aquaman's, and so on. So he goes, "Your home, Hal Jordan, was destroyed. You remember the lengths you went to bring it back?" And he goes, "But you got it back at the wave of a hand. Soon a new crisis will pull me and my dark army to your world, where I can use the rest of the heroes there to restore what was lost. The great darkness would rather this go all the way, a return to nothing, but I keep its power under my control." So he thinks he can control this darkness. So you can see where Pariah has been kind of played here by this darkness. He thinks that he can control it. And as the reader and even the heroes know that just one guy isn't going to be able to control this darkness. And he goes, "You sure you're not controlling the shots here?" And he goes, "You dare suggest I cannot master the darkness?" And he kind of starts going nuts. So Hal recreates the Justice League with his power ring, and it's like the Green Lantern, like the power ring versions of the Justice League, and he starts attacking them. He quickly breaks them up. The Green Lantern Corps starts powering up on him, just shooting at him. And Hal goes over to the Green Lantern Symbol One and where John Stewart is. So Pariah goes, "No, don't touch my worlds." And he goes, "These aren't worlds, Pariah. The Great Darkness is using the Justice League to restore the multiverse. It's turning them into weapons." And he grabs hold of John Stewart's world, and it looks like he's destroyed, like totally obliterated. But he wakes up. And he's not wearing his power ring. He's in civilian clothes. He goes, "My ring's gone. What's going on here?" And it's a complete green world with all these green lantern symbols everywhere. And somebody out of the blue, or green, if you will, that's a little pun there, shoots a green sword at him. He goes, "That was just a warning shot. You're not welcome on this world. This is Sector John Stewart." And Hal's like, "What do you mean, Sector what?" Now, meanwhile, Black Adam is on a mission of his own. He looks like he's in a swamp area, and he starts talking. "Are you aware of what has happened? Deathstroke has taken the world, has taken things out of control." "Yes." And he goes, "The heroes have left behind this legacy. They don't understand what they didn't see, what I saw. The Justice League is never coming back. I thought it could push the young heroes to be what they needed to be. They are too concerned with hope, and I believe it is time for doom." And the final page of the issue is Lex Luthor and the Legion of Doom, all the bad guys that are left that Deathstroke didn't turn. Lex Luthor says, "It sounds like it's a job for Lex Luthor." It's kind of like a thing that says it looks like a job for Superman, only it seems like Lex Luthor is going to be hero of the day here. Is this not a mind trip, have I been telling you, or what? There's a lot of things that happen here. So the last issue we're going to get to is Worlds Without a Justice League, Green Lantern. So we saw that there's a world where Hal Jordan's in. Now this book kind of takes place before Hal gets there. It's kind of what John Stewart is envisioning. And it has the same intro, needing power to fuel his deadly machines. Pariah has imprisoned the essence of each Justice League member in a custom-made world using his dark abilities. Each world has been created from the innermost hopes of the Justice League. So each one of these worlds is kind of what the heroes wish things could be like, or want things to be with, or envision in their mind what they want. So this is a world where Green Lantern Corps are all over the world, taking over things and making sure everything's like a peaceful world. And John Stewart is happy. He's got a family on a farm. And he's like, "Hey, you know," it's kind of like a Green Lantern adventure. "Hey, Hal, hey, John, the world needs you." So he gets his Green Lantern attire on. Now, in this world, he doesn't have the Green Lantern suit as normal. It kind of looks like, if you remember the character Steel from the Reign of the Superman, he looks like a green version of Steel. It's completely head to toe, complete covered face outfit, and he has this green spear with a cape and everything. So it kind of looks really cool, but we see that this is what John Stewart envisions his Green Lantern world to be in. And he has this adventure where he saves the day. And at the end of the day, he goes back and works on his farm. So the next little story here is, it's kind of like a retelling of the origin of Hawk Girl, where she finds the Temple of Life, finds her Billy Club, that she starts remembering how she was, what her name was. She goes, my name is Kendra Saunders. Some people call me Hawk Girl. I'm not dying today. This is the first day of the rest of my life." It's kind of like before she got her powers, walking into the pyramid where she realizes who she was, the essence of Hawk Girl, and whatever. So she gets, it's pretty much a retelling of the origin of her powers, getting her powers back, and it's kind of like her version of what she envisions herself to look like, totally different costumes, things like that. And she has a little fight with some hordes in a pyramid, walks away from it, and in the background, in the darkness, Pariah comes out and he starts laughing. So you're kind of left wondering, he's kind of in control of these things, kind of. They're hooked up to his machine. The good guys on the outside know they're there, and they're trying to get to him. We see Hal Jordan has already gotten into John Stewart's realm. So it is possible for them to communicate with the dead Justice Leaguers. And it looks like by Aquaman's standpoint, he's waking up and he's starting to realize things are not as copacetic as they should be. It's not, things aren't the way they should be. So he's kind of like the first one to wake up. So we're going to kind of see the progression of that in the next couple of weeks, where it all comes to a head. It always comes to a head with these storylines. There's always this huge buildup, and then there's a huge climactic issue. Now, the thing I try and do is I try to explain it as best I can, only summarizing these things. But the fun part is actually seeing these things happen, and the progression of Dark Crisis. I'm doing this in 4 or 5 weeks. Dark Crisis happened over the course of 6 or 7 months, and you know, just the anticipation of what's going to happen next or who's going to do what and where they're going to go with things is like the funnest part of the adventure. So I'm highlighting as much as I can the cool points of this adventure with Dark Crisis. And next week and the next few weeks leading up to its conclusion are just the same. There's a lot of awesome things left to come with Dark Crisis. So we're going to leave off with those issues this week. Join me next week as we pick up where these issues left off. We're going to see another World Without the Justice League. We're going to see a Wonder Woman issue. We're going to pick up where Wally left off fighting the Flash, the real Flash, Barry Allen. We're going to pick up with Young Justice. We're going to see who's messing with them and why. I believe this next issue kind of shows what's going on. And then what this storyline has, there's a lot of one-shots with this one. There's a few with the miniseries with the Young Justice Dark Crisis. There's a lot of one-shots with the World Without Justice League and each one of those guys. And the Flash issues and the main events. So there's a lot of one-shots with this, which was making this one kind of unique, where it wasn't like a build-up in each issue, it was just kind of like a one-and-done sort of thing. So we're going to pick up with a few of those the next couple of weeks as well. So until then, thanks for listening. And again, you can always pick it up on Instagram or Facebook. I have links on both of them. You can go to our website, 975ycountry.com or z943radio.com and click on the links there. Hit the subscribe button. Wherever you have found this podcast, there's always other ways to pick it up. If you want to share this link, I would love for you to share this link, subscribe, and let me know what you think. If you have any questions or any comments or anything, I'm open to all of it. You can reach out to me on Instagram at BrideTheComicBookGuy, or you can reach out to me in my email, BrideTheComicBookGuy@gmail.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.